Ask that you get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll begin reading with verse 1 and continuing through verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, as we read this passage of Scripture, there is a word that keeps popping up time and time again. And of course, that word is one. Paul is describing to us the importance that we are together with our Christianity, that we meld ourselves together into one. And he mentions the way we do this. We have one hope, one of our calling. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are a part of the Father, the one Father. And he is desiring that we all share this oneness in our lives. We are to possess a oneness within ourselves. Now, we all like to say that we are one with God. We also want to say that we are one with the church, that the church is one. And if you will look around this room and you see the different faces that are in these seats, we are that one. We are that church, even though there are many of us. We make up that one thing that is so important to us all, and that being the body of Christ. So we want to put our minds on that thought of oneness this evening. But what I want to do is I want to introduce to you three other one things that we need to put within ourselves that will help us, I believe, to become closer to our Lord, that will help us to be closer to each other as Christians, and that will help prepare us for the journey that we are on today in this world. Three ones of life. First of all, we have one thing to ask. As Christians, well, as people in general, we're always asking things, aren't we, of one another, of someone else. We're always wanting something, so we ask for it. You know, Jesus did say, seek and you shall find. He did say that, didn't he? So we're always looking for that something special in life. As Christians, we need to ask one thing. One thing to ask. And this one thing comes from the psalmist David. In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist David is making it very clear here that his one desire is to be with God, to be in his house, to dwell with him for all eternity. And my friends, that should be our desire today as well. You know, David has spoken earlier of this particular desire in Psalm 23 and verse 6, where he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what he is telling us is that we also should have this tremendous desire to be with God in his house, to be a part of his true family. Isn't that why we're all here tonight? We are all here tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of that one family of God, and this is where we want to be. We want to be a part of this great family. We have a desire to have that place in the soul's true home. We want to go to that home of the soul. We want to be a soul that is there, that is a part of it. And you know, this is a request that is something that God is always pleased to see from His children. You see, not only does God want us to be a part of Him, He wants us to want to be a part of Him. God's greatest desire is for us to love Him, to want to be with Him, to want to be a part of Him. And this request that we make in wanting this oneness is something that God will always grant if we are willing to comply to His will. And you know, to know that heaven can be ours, to know that we can have that oneness with God, we can have that oneness of God here, and we can have that oneness with God for all eternity. And to know that that is possible in our lives, that should be soul satisfying within us. To know that we can have that in our lives. So the one thing we ask is the same thing that David asked. To be able to dwell in the house of the Lord. To be a part of His family. To be with the family for all eternity. To be part of the bride of Christ. And then next, we have one thing to know. And the thing that we need to know comes from Matthew chapter 9. Now in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has just healed the blind man by the pool of Siloam. And the Pharisees, which is trying to justify themselves in Jesus doing this great event, they come up to this young man and they come up to the family. And they say in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 9, "Give God the glory, for we know that this man is a sinner." They had it in their mind that because he was blind, there had to be something wrong with him spiritually, or something wrong with his family spiritually. So give God the glory, for we know this man is a sinner. But this was the blind man's answer. "Whether a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." You see, this man knew beyond a shadow of a doubt who had given him back his sight. He had received his sight through the miraculous power of the Son of God. Out of this blessing, no one could take it away from him. No one could defraud him. No one could sweet talk him into saying that he had received it another way. He said, "This is one thing I do know. My sight came from the Lord. He gave it to me." This was one thing that he was absolutely certain about. The identity of the one who had healed him. And I want you to know tonight, everybody that is sitting here in this audience, a Christian. We are a Christian because we have been spiritually healed by the Son of God. The believing, the trusting, the obedient soul has received this blessed assurance because of Jesus Christ. And no one can ever take that away from us. No one can change that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It is He and He alone that can remove sin. It is He and He alone that can make all things right. He is the great physician, as he proved here on this occasion, and as he has proved time and time again throughout his time on earth. He is the great healer. He is the one that makes the remission of sins possible. He is the one who gives spiritual sight to the blind. He is the one who gives certainty and hope to mankind. He makes immortality a present reality. And it's ours. And I know that it came from Him. And I know that no one can take that from me. So there is one thing I see. and there is one thing I know. Now, let's look at one other thing. The one thing that I do. The one thing that I do comes to us from the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. You see, when Paul penned this letter to the Philippian church, he knew that he had not yet reached the end of his journey. And so he describes himself as if he is still in the race. He said, I've got to move forward. I've got to put out of my mind the things which are behind me. The things which I did, the things which I said, whether good or bad, it's in the past. We can't go back and undo it, redo it. All we can do with the past is move on away from it. And the same thing is true today. He is still looking ahead. He is looking to lay hold of that eternal life that Christ offers because he's not there yet. Just as we sitting here tonight, we're not there yet. We have still got a race to run. We have a race to finish. And we are not there. And he speaks of this eternal life, this foundation, this place that we're headed for, to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you also called, and having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's telling Timothy this because this is what he has done. And he is encouraging Timothy, and he encourages us to follow the same course. The course that will bring us close to God. The course that will bring us close to each other as a Christian family. Even though it may not always be easy. And those of us who have been Christians for quite some time, we understand Christianity is not always easy. Sometimes it can be quite difficult. You see, Christianity was not easy for Paul. He mentions to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 a few of the hardships that befell him because of who he was and the fact that he was a servant of God. Beginning in verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside the other things which comes upon me daily. My deep concern for all the churches. The Christian life was not easy for Paul. He suffered greatly because of it. Probably far greater than anyone in this room has ever suffered for their Christianity or ever will. But even with all this, Paul knew that his race was not over. He knew there was still something for him to do. And he was not pressed upon looking back. Because what's back there is going to stay back there. It's not going to come back to us. And we're not going to go back to it. So the only direction we have to go in is forward. We press on. The goal is ahead. The prize awaits us at the end of our race. Nowhere in between. And the future, our future, yours and mine, is with Christ Jesus. a future with Christ can erase the past. And we all need to know that. Because we all go back to the days of our past and we think about our lives and maybe the mistakes that we have made, the things that we did that we should have done differently, the things that we did not do at all. And they're all behind us. Paul had done all of these things. He said, forget it. Do the one thing that you need to do. Move forward. Put all of this behind you and press toward that goal, that end, that reward that is waiting for you. That's the one thing to do. So I have one thing to ask. I have one thing to know. And I have one thing to do. And the result, my friends, will bring us full assurance, full peace, and unspeakable joy. All of this, my friends, can be yours today in Christ. And if you are not a Christian, the only way to receive it is to comply with the will of God, to obey the gospel as it has been presented to you, and obey Him today. And Christian, if you know that you have lost this security, if you know that you have not been doing or knowing or asking that one thing as a child of God, it's time to make some changes in your life so that you will ask that one thing. I want to dwell with God. That you will know that one thing, that it is God that can save you. And you will do that one thing and return to Him before it's everlastingly too late. So tonight, remember the one thing. The one thing that we can do to help us assure our salvation. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.